Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 11th of January, 2022, with our second of two best of reviews of 2021.
Yeah, thank you again to Ryan Renditsky, who put this all together for us. Great dude. Thank you so much for that. By the way, before we begin today, I want to mention thank you so much for all the donations at the end of the year. We are going to have next week the reveal of the Close to the Pin competition, who won, and all the winnings there. And while we're at that subject, while we're talking about that, of course, helping out to provide for the things that we do each and every week here. You can go over to DH Unplugged on this episode. Show notes 589 is a place for you to donate. Click that yellow button and donate. Plenty of opportunities for you to be a part of this beyond just a simple listener. You can be part of the show and donate as well. So, John, what do we have queued up for the first go round of this show?
Well, it's going to be about inflation, which seems to be the big topic of conversation. We've got to wrap up all of it, all about the housing inflation, the inflation denial, which, as you recall, during the early days of inflation, was, oh, it's just temporary. Don't worry about it. It's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Then also the tech, well, some discussion is in here about the theories about tech deflation, which is just a constant. And then liquidity vacuum theories.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, this whole thing about inflation, the thing that was fascinating all throughout the year was that we talked about this so many times about this transitory hoo-ha, BS, bogus denial by the Fed. And then, you know, kind of pressing it and finally came true. And it's like, well, we don't really like the fact that it's true because it sucks having all this inflation, right?
Who needs it?
Yeah, who needs it? Well, let's listen in to what we had to say throughout the year and see how we played out towards the end. Inflation has become a theme by a lot of the talking heads. It's being discussed more and more. And I think that, you know, from everything that I've seen, aside from asset inflation and risk asset inflation and commodity inflation, there is some other areas we're starting to see that inflation is creeping up. We had the biggest move upward on a monthly basis, on a year-over-year basis for home prices with the Case-Shiller number last month, like a 7.9%. And we're seeing that.
Yes, yeah.
All sorts of things are going up, but yet the Fed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got property, so it's fine with me. But I would not like to see another real estate crash.
No, that wouldn't be good. Conagra, they told Reuters that the higher prices for some ingredients, including edible oils, pork and eggs, and for packaging, may prompt it to raise prices to offset the increases this year. Mm. Remember, there's no inflation, but everything costs more.
Yeah, how's that work?
So we've been talking about inflation. We have to keep talking about inflation because something is happening here. Listen to this. Lumber prices.
Yes.
They moved above $1,000 per 1,000 board feet last Thursday. They came back a bit. They were down to, I think, $850. They popped up to like $900 today. The high of $1,000 and $1,004.90 is double the price from just 3 months ago. So how does that work? I don't understand how people are going to afford houses. I mean, what does that tell you about the environment we're in where there's no bubbles? There's no bubbles. At 2:30, we have Jay Powell in his press conference trying to maneuver the commentary on how we have inflation, but it's transitory probably, and how they're going to keep rates low for an extended period of time, and how even though they're buying bonds, it's not inflationary, which is kind of funny because isn't that the whole purpose?
I don't know. How about the idea that you have a deflation, inflation going on at the same time? What do you do?
That is now grounds to elect you to the Federal Reserve Board. That is so outlandish and so confusing that it is guaranteed entry for a seat.
Well, I think it's possible that you can conceive the idea because the tech sector has always been in a deflationary mode.
Yeah.
Which people don't want to realize, but you know, the price of a product stays the same, but as power goes up, or the price goes down and the power goes up.
That's classic Moore's law. Moore's law, right?
Yeah, because of Moore's law, and so in tech, deflation has been just the way everybody operates, and they don't think twice about it. Yeah, they've got to move product, get it out of here because it's going to be worth less shortly thereafter. And people have to wait to make a decision: should I buy later when I get more for my money? Which is a deflationary attitude, which is the real problem with deflation. People stop buying.
Just to finish up on yields here for a minute, what to watch on yields, what to watch for. Current yield of the 10-year is at 1.62%. 2% is a concerning level. If we get that, we see more hot inflation numbers come out and lumber prices continue higher and all the other stuff. And the other thing that happened in the inflation numbers, they're talking about, well, 50% or so of the rate hike or the interest rate move for inflation was because of fuel prices. So they make it sound like it's a discount factor that, you know, not a big deal.
We talked fuel about this. Prices weren't. I thought those were never to be incorporated into the inflation rate. Am I wrong?
No, they're in the top line, not in the core. So you usually have inflation and inflation X food and energy. By the way, you saw the tweet I put out today with lumber prices, right?
I saved the chart as dynamite.
Yeah. And do you know how much backlash I got on that from people saying this isn't inflation? It's just a matter of supply and demand. I said, what are you talking about?
What are they talking about?
Prices go up. I don't care. It's because prices go up.
Doesn't matter why they go up. If the way they do these calculations, if the price goes up, no matter why,
it's inflation.
It goes into the calculation.
Right. So, you know, it doesn't matter. And the whole discussion of inflation and the idea of the velocity of money is all wrapped around with people wanting to buy now because they think the prices are going up in the future. But that's the whole idea of inflation. That's why inflation brings up the economy, because people are much more inclined to buy things where you have a deflationary environment. People are like, hey, you know what? I'll wait till the prices come down. And that's why the Fed is always so afraid of deflation, which sounds like it's a better deal for you and me. Prices go down, I'll wait. But then everything goes down and then places lay off people. So you're having the opposite effect right now.
Yeah, it's a spiral. That's why nobody likes to even talk about deflation.
Right. Everybody seems to think there's inflation right now, but the Fed is just totally denying it. It's just fascinating to me.
And now
they're coming up with this word to almost badmouth you if you're thinking there's going to be inflation in the future. Like like liberal and conservative. Oh, he's an accelerationist. He's a decelerationist. Was that something?
Not yet, but that would be a good one.
And like what about a neutralist? What about nothing moves?
It's a neutralist. That's what I am.
You're a neutralist. That's crazy. It's crazy. And while the Fed, in their infinite wisdom, continues to pump the idea that this is just transitory and that there's not going to be inflation. And if there is, no big deal anyway, we can live with it because they changed their definition of inflation of their target of 2% to now using inflation averaging to utilize. I mean, it's the whole thing is laughable.
I love these guys.
I know they're great. They're great. Now I went back and I looked at the famous charts that we look at on Shadow Stats to see what does inflation look like if there is. You know, if they didn't change the methodology. And we're running it kind of like 8.5% or 9%, according to them. They do CPI, not PPI. Some people are talking about that we're really running like a 12% right now. Because remember, they start taking out things. They take out cars and travel and energy and food. It's like, okay, let's take out all the things that you utilize to see what the inflation looks like. This week we had the Powell adjustment where he came in and talked about the idea that, well, yeah, maybe there is some inflation out there. I'm thinking maybe possibly we're seeing some prices, and talked a little bit about, well, we're going to have maybe some rate increase in the future, and kind of got a little bit more, he didn't get hawkish. He got less dovish. And what's interesting about that is markets wobbled. And then I said, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, I'm like, well, how long is it going to take till the Fed starts walking this back? And lo and behold, this week's schedule is absolutely lined with the parade of Fed speakers, the ones that are voting members, non-voting members. And what are they doing?
Hedging.
Hedging. Let's get into what the Fed did. So again, nothing of consequence during the meeting, except admitting that the inflation was moving higher than they thought, projecting 3.4%. Okay, what they did was they adjusted the Fed's facility return rate up to 0.05% from zero. They also
This is what you're going to explain. How does this work? Yep.
Then they also adjusted their interest on excess reserves to 0.15 from 0.10. Not a lot there. So what happened when they did that was when they increased the rate, it kind of took a bit of a shock to the system because the bank's like, well, now we're not making zero anymore. We can make a little bit more. It's safe. It's guaranteed. Why keep it over here on our books? Let's give it to the Fed, or kind of that's the prompt. You give it to the Fed. You put that on interest. You get interest on the excess reserves that you put into the bank of the Fed. And what it does, it kind of sucks money out of the system. And we saw that the Fed's reverse repos surged to a record $756 billion after this rate tweak. And that's when basically, again, money is coming out of the system through this. It's kind of like just sucked it.
So it's just a little, it's like a dripping faucet.
Yeah, but once this happened, it took a chunk out. So bonds were redeemed, the money was put in, the yield curve flattened, again, still steeper than we were in the beginning of this year. But essentially, that small little change behind the scenes created a situation where $756 billion essentially was taken out of the system, or said another way, liquidity was removed. Right?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Liquidity was removed. And if you remember, we've talked about for how long that what is this market going on? The market is going on low interest rates, it's going on stimulus programs and liquidity. So now that three-part stool, one of the legs was just kicked out from it.
Oh my God, we're gonna have nothing but inflation. This is inflationary, it's gonna cause high, and then they use the term hyperinflation.
Hyper and runaway. Runaway is a big one.
Runaway and hyperinflation, which has never happened in this country to any extent. But they kept pumping this money in, and it wasn't causing hyperinflation, it seems to me. If it was doing anything, it was staving off deflation.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Right.
And that may be going on now.
It's like there's a cup with a hole in the bottom. It's one thing to have a cup with no hole and you keep on pouring stuff in and you overflow, right? And that's kind of where you would think about that inflation that was runaway. But it's like we have a cup with a permanent hole in the bottom that no matter how much we put in, it doesn't seem to fill up.
Yeah. It never fills up.
If you see inflation at 0.5 and 0.9 and 0.6 month over month for a few months, right? Let's say that adds up to 4% just as a number. The inflation rate is going to moderate back to normal is what they're saying. They're not telling you that prices are going back to where they were because that would be deflationary.
Oh, that's funny.
Right?
Yeah, that's 10 points to you for that one. Yes, you're right. In other words, whatever it cranks up to, you're stuck with it.
Stuck. Yeah. So this whole idea of them talking about a growth rate in percentage terms versus absolute math, absolute dollar value, is a canard.
Yeah, I, you're absolutely correct. So in other words, if your price of beef doubled, let's say, over some for whatever reason, It was just stick there.
Right. It's so good news. Prices aren't going up anymore. They're going to stay right where they are. Good news of the future. We don't have any further inflation. Okay.
I think a lot of the inflation is because of contrived shortages. And I think that's what's going on in China when they have these, you know, they close some docks and then they turn the power off on these companies. Then they say where the power is going to be off and they blame it on power shortage or something. And there's the backup of the shipping. I mean, a lot of this stuff doesn't seem, you know, it seems a lot of it seems contrived and artificial.
I hear what you're saying. I understand your thought process. I'm just wondering where the eventual benefit is, unless it's just to do harm.
I think the benefit is, well, let's be cynical about it and say that, well, these companies have been jacking up their earnings are gone up. The stock market's skyrocketing. What can they did it by laying off a lot of people. They did it by all these by stock buybacks. They've tried one trick after another and it just keeps propping up the whole business, all the business sector. Well, what do you have left to do but create contrived shortages to make more profits?
I hear you. I mean, I'm seeing the start, though, of something different. And I'm starting to see where in yesteryear, we would have looked at all this and seen the prices go up and we talk about these bubbles popping, right? And kind of everything starting to come in. Because we are starting to see a lot of surveys out that are showing that people are actually dropping the prices on their homes. We're seeing that prices on assets are starting to come in some areas, but yet bulge out. I think we're creating black holes versus popping of bubbles. This crazy thing that's going on, 240% increase in the price of coal in the last year. Don't tell me there's no inflation. And it doesn't really, and I don't care the reason. Do you care the reason why we have higher prices? Does it matter if it's supply chain? Does it matter if it's a bubble? Does it matter that it's lack
well,
of
we
this.
Don't have 240% inflation, I can assure you.
Not yet. I mean, not yet. Coal price up 240%. There's a great chart on the site. Now, if that wasn't enough, as we say in my language, so if that's not so much, England. We have a massive driver shortage. 1,000 British gas stations ran dry on Sunday, which you know what that means. As soon as you start hearing about things running dry, what do people do?
They rush to the place.
They rush.
Get in line.
They have a full tank. They will leave their car running all day waiting in line, burn a half a tank of gas just so they can get filled up. Right?
That's what they do.
You've seen this, right? It's insanity.
They always do. It's insanity.
This is great. Retail sales. We talk about this every year. This is what the National Retail Federation, or the NRF, this is their big moment in the sun. This time of year, says that it expects holiday sales during November and December to rise between 8.5 and 10.5% as compared to last year, which would total about $843 billion of sales. Now, what they didn't tell you is there's about 3 to 4% inflation in there that you got to put up. So it's not like they're selling more. It's really about 4 to 5%, which is pretty much
what it is every year.
Yeah, pretty much what they have every year. Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It sounds good.
See? Just like we said, right? Inflation was not transitory, and that was definitely part of the discussions there and, you know, all the things that went on. What's up next?
By the way, about inflation not being transitory, I hope the gasoline doesn't stay at $5.15 a gallon.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Well, next is vaccines and pharma. We're going to talk about the vaccine problems that a lot of people didn't want to discuss. And we could discuss because we're not sponsored by Pfizer.
No.
Like everybody else.
Not yet.
Which is an encouragement to people to donate to the show. Discuss the variants that came and went, the breakthroughs of Pfizer marketing, a little bit about them. Mm. The cost of the shots, some discussion of the logic of it all, some drinking talk, of course. Pharma profit bonanzas, boosters.
It's all in there and so much more. Let's get right to it. Let's be honest. If we can't screw up one thing, we got to screw them all up. So now the vaccines are all problematic. Places like New York is bitching and moaning that they're going to run out of vaccines on Thursday. Down here.
Meanwhile, California wants to ship a bunch of it back because it made people sick.
Right. That was the Moderna deal. There's like 300,000 vaccines they don't want. Moderna was down.
Yeah, the press release that came out of Pfizer said the Moderna vaccine's no good.
You think it was from Pfizer?
Yeah. Sign on to a bunch of Moderna vaccines and all of a sudden this happens. I'm not necessarily buying it.
What was interesting was that, of course, as we've seen before, that the Moderna loves to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, that's what they do. It's not even a vaccine maker. It's a public relations operation.
Yeah, pretty much it is. More vaccine news. Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, says he's asking for the ability to buy COVID-19 vaccines doses directly from the company. He suggested.
He's part of the Charles Barkley School of Fairness. Charles Barkley was on the Inside NBA show, and he says he thinks that the athletes playing in the NBA should have priority for the shots because they pay more taxes.
Oh, for goodness sakes. And then we talked about California state.
He wants to cut in line. It's what he wants to do. He wants to cut in line.
Yep. And then we talked about the Moderna situation, you know, that Moderna is halting 300,000 coronavirus vaccines used in California right now because of these severe allergic reactions. I don't know what severe allergic is. I don't know what that means.
I read all the articles.
And what does it mean?
Nobody says.
Oh. It's just severe.
Which makes me think it's Pfizer behind the whole thing.
You have some funny ideas, but I like it. Why would Pfizer put a chip in that somehow is going to kill you?
Arsenic.
But why would you do that? Pfizer would like you to live to the ripe old age of 390 so they can keep on pumping you full of drugs to keep you going. That's how they make money.
That's for sure.
By the way, every time we talk about a new variant, these companies have come out like Moderna and Pfizer. Hey, don't worry about it. We've done testing on it.
How is that even possible?
I don't know.
And by the way, I thought the old variant, the one that is in the UK, came from South Africa to begin with. Are they breeding variants down there?
I don't even understand. It's
they can't give us a story that's consistent. It's really bothersome.
It's ridiculous. And then one more thing, AstraZeneca has informed European officials on Friday that it will cut deliveries of its COVID-19 vaccine by 60% to 31 million doses in the first quarter of the year due to production problems.
What that's all about.
I don't know. But we have other guys, you know, the Johnson & Johnson is now coming out with something with the Regeneron news today. All of this is great news. The market could give a crap about all of this. It seems there was the coronavirus variant mutation, whatever you want to call it, discovered in South Africa, can now break through the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to some extent. Now, what's interesting about this was that it was a study done in Israel. Pfizer has halted shipments of coronavirus vaccines to Israel in outrage over the country's failing to transfer payments for the last 2.5 million doses it supplied to the country.
Yeah, it sounds like a public relations war.
Yeah. You have all of a sudden this breakthrough. It can go around the spikes or whatever it does. And then all of a sudden you find out, Pfizer's not sending anything to them, so they're pissing them off because they got aggravated because Israel hasn't paid for 2.5. I'm sure it's just their QuickBooks accounting that's not working. J&J is their vaccine has been halted due to the rare blood clotting. Now, I know on No Agenda, which you can listen to every Thursday and Sunday at 12 with Adam Curry and John Z. Dvorak, you've talked about that a lot of what's going on with AstraZeneca, for example, is all a incredible and from a twisted mindset, admirable PR campaign pushing Pfizer in front and getting rid of all the competition.
Yeah, that's what we believe because it's just too many coincidences that all point to Pfizer.
And now
it's
J&J.
It's like fabulous marketing is the way I personally see it.
I mean, Are you really surprised that we're going through this and there's things that are happening? This is the kind of stuff that would happen during a normal process of a vaccine development and through the various phases of regulatory requirements to get them approved, right? We just short-circuited that, so we're seeing more of this. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's I think...
I don't think it's a good thing at all because, it's just some one company pushing their agenda on everybody.
Well, I would bet that J&J will be back on the market in a week. So last week, there was something about with granting waivers to allow for, I guess, other countries to get our drugs and manufacture them for the COVID, and we will waive the IP requirements and the IP protection, intellectual property protection. What is that all about?
Well, I've listened to a bunch of these. I've heard Gates talk about it. There's other people who have talked about it. And Pfizer and Moderna, and I don't know, I think even Johnson & Johnson, this technology for making, this is not a vaccine. This is a technology.
Ah.
They don't want to give up. Forget it. You can go figure it out yourself. They don't want to give away the IP because the IP may be more valuable than we know.
I don't understand. Why would we give it away, though?
Well, we're not. Nobody's giving it away.
Biden said that we'll be happy to.
Biden's a big talker. He's not running this. Pfizer versus Biden. I don't think that he has much of a chance.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole thing.
It's fishy. You're
totally
right.
Totally bonehead decision.
But you know what they pay for per dose?
No.
Which I think is why they have two doses instead of one. That's $19.50 a dose, the government pays. And so you have to have two doses. So it's about $40 for each person that gets a vaccine. And it's 100 million, 200 million people they want to get shot.
Yeah, that's good money. That's good money.
Moderna's $30 and Johnson & Johnson is 10 and it's only one shot. So that's why they don't want that. They don't want that. That's no good. It's too cheap.
Too cheap. Something must be wrong with it if it's so inexpensive. Yeah, Moderna was approved today. For trial, provisional,
kids?
For India.
Oh, for India. Well, India's got their own vaccines, but okay. Well, if they move a few products, that sounds like a way to boost the stock.
Yeah, and it was today exactly at an all-time high. Moderna finished, and I am a proud owner of that stock.
JP Morgan. You had COVID.
Yeah.
You have you don't need a vaccination. Let's face it, but. I know this is going on, and it's just a part of Pfizer's great marketing as far as I'm concerned.
What gets even worse is the idea that if you had a vaccine and you can prove you have a vaccine, does not prove that you have antibodies or that you cannot carry it, right?
That's what they say.
But if you had COVID, everybody's like, well, maybe you don't have the antibodies anymore.
There's no proof of that. They've been studying it. Everyone who's had COVID looks like they may have a lifetime immunity.
Right. What I'm saying is, though, that somehow this is not, they're not bringing that together, right? It's like the vaccine works, nothing else.
Why would they?
Right.
If you're working for Pfizer and you're in the marketing department, you're drinking a martini as we speak.
Or two, a dirty martini at that. How great was this pandemic?
For people like that, renters in California, it was great.
Do you realize financially, seriously, to many people, not everybody, but do you realize it was terrible for a while? And do you realize that some of the incredible amount of money that was made due to this pandemic?
Yeah, by Pfizer and others.
Yes, many players in all sorts of areas. One guy, I don't know what the guy's name is. Let's see if it's on
you.
Here. No, not me. He was a roofer from Fort Myers. He got 3 years in prison.
He was a roofer.
Yeah, roofer. And he also got an extra month for an alcohol program. I guess he's been drinking.
Yeah, Zeller did martinis again.
Yeah, he only got a couple of months use out of that boat, too. It was a really nice boat. Oh. I wish I would have known. I would have bought it cheap. The third wave is happening. Australia's in a lockdown. You know, and
that's because, there's Pfizer has a lot to do with it. They're trying to push this booster before you... The other one's not 6 months old, not even 6 months. It's like for most people, their shot was 4 months ago. Now they want to give them a booster already after two shots. And it's just getting out of control.
It was kind of impressive that the CDC said, now.
You know, no, they finally, somebody's going to have to put their foot down on this stuff.
I don't think so. You can make all that what you want, all those boosters. Now they're doing some mixing and matching, too. It's like, you know, I'm not sure. Yes,
which was a violation in the early days, if you recall.
I know.
And then they're also encouraging people who got the Johnson & Johnson to, quote, unquote, top off to the Pfizer.
Oh, kind of like a floater on a Rum Runner.
Exactly. Yes, a floater.
It's a floater, right?
Yeah.
I'll take a, give me one more shot that's of that rum in there.
Bar drinks for anybody out there who doesn't know what we're saying.
We have three items related to COVID. Number one, Johnson & Johnson. The FDA will soon announce a new warning on J&J's COVID-19 vaccine related to potential rare autoimmune disorders, according to WAPO. Then you got Thailand. Thailand has changed its vaccine policy to mix China's Sinovac with the AstraZeneca vaccine in a bid to boost protection.
What, did they stir up in a big pot?
I don't know. They probably, I don't know. Yeah, J&J also going to have some warnings to think about some heart issues. Pfizer and BioNTech announced Thursday that they're developing a COVID-19 booster shot intended to target the Delta variant as concerns rise about the highly transmissible strain that is already the dominant form of the disease in the United States. So the CDC wasn't happy with that announcement from Pfizer. But you know what? They still haven't gotten full approval for the basic vaccine.
They're never going to get approval for that thing because it's. I don't think you can approve it. It's so dangerous.
I think one of the things you talked about on No Agenda, something that we talked about some time ago, was this is potentially, not to kind of get a little weird about this, you know, it's possible this is a media pitch in order to push vaccinations. Right?
That's the basic theory.
Right. If we look at Pfizer and the whole idea of we look at that and BioNTech as their partner in this, and the whole idea, which you are surmising, is they're doing it for money. That's all it's about, right?
What they do. That's what their company does.
Stock's not doing so well. I mean, stock has done okay. I don't know. But look at Moderna.
I just wonder if there's something else going on behind the scenes that some investors know about that is not good news for Pfizer.
And with the idea of a booster shot too? I don't know. It seems kind of crazy. But they're talking about this Delta variant, a 1,200, and I don't know how they got this number, 1,260 times higher
they viral make stuff load. Up.
1,260 times.
There's no documentation for these numbers.
Yeah. What gets me really concerned right now, and I don't want to talk about this COVID much longer, but what gets me concerned now is everybody's sort of giving in to the fact that, yeah, you got the vaccine, and, you know, you still can get it. Still can get this thing. I'm like, yeah. And it's almost like, excuse me, that was not on the instructions and the label before we got the shot. If you look at the stocks of Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna, loving all this. Germany will start giving out COVID-19 booster shots next month. The UK.
Well, good for Germany.
Yep. The UK will start giving 32 million booster shots next month. Pfizer, Moderna, raising prices on their vaccines. Smart.
What did they raise them to?
I don't know. There's some story. They're just inching up prices right now.
I mean, I knew the original prices of all these shots.
First of all, the COVID booster shots starting next month from Germany, that's pretty quick.
Well, most of the shot in Germany wasn't was at the front of the line like we were. So they started getting, there's what, in March? So you got March, April, May, June, July. We got 6 months. In other words, 6 months later.
Yeah.
And less than 6 months from the second shot, obviously. So 6 months later, you already need another shot?
Well, we don't know.
Another one is 6 months after that?
First, we don't know if you need another shot. Second, we don't know if the booster will work. There's been no testing on it.
Well, that brings me back to the point. Maybe it doesn't work.
Oh, God. Vaccine makers, rocket ships, mRNA, Moderna, BioNTech, and Pfizer. Pfizer finally hit an all-time high today. BioNTech's rocking. Moderna hit close to $500 a share yesterday. Backed off a bit today.
They've never done anything like this before. Pfizer's has a lot of other things going on.
Right.
I mean, from Viagra to all these other vaccines and bunch of just got a lot of stuff going on, and or Viagra. I'm not sure.
The blue pill. The blue pill. purple.
Moderna is just a straight up, you know, this.
Right.
Which makes me just, I'm very skeptical.
I will tell you that it has run incredibly. I did some numbers. In over a year, they're up about 700%. Back to this COVID discussion. And this experimental antiviral pill that Merck is having out, that has out, it's 50% effectiveness, which back when we were getting the data from the vaccines, 50% didn't cut it, right? But now all of a sudden, I guess that's good. What it did, though, was BioNTech and Moderna got absolutely blasted on this news.
Interesting. I mean,
we're talking about like 20%. Novavax down like 25% at one point on whenever the announcement was last Friday. Because now everybody's like, oh, so maybe I don't need the booster. Maybe I don't need the vaccine.
I got a treatment. If I have a treatment, why would I get the booster?
Right. Pfizer update. Wouldn't you know it? Pfizer on Tuesday raised their full-year sales forecast for its COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, and once they get those five-year-olds taking the shot,
yep.
Boom.
Yep. They raised it by 7.5% to $36 billion as it signs deals with countries for booster doses and receives clearances for using its shots in a broader age group. The company said it's also on track to deliver 2.3 billion doses of the vaccine out of the roughly 3 billion it plans to make this year. A very, very good pandemic for Pfizer. Thank you very much for the pandemic, Pfizer.
Well, that pretty much sums up vaccines.
Yeah, vaccines. Now we're going to talk about China. We talked about China a lot. I mean, it was in the news. It's interesting because I thought we were actually going to have a little bit of a lull in the China talk after we kind of ganged up, went after them and tariffed them and talked how bad they were and the China flu that was talked about. But it seems like it went downhill pretty fast for China last year, didn't it?
It's the whole China thing is, I think it's spinning slightly out of control. I don't think Biden's been able to do much about it.
I think that there's this hope that somehow China's going to step in, but it seems that China's taking this other way of doing things. Anyway, we talk a lot about that in the clips throughout the entire year. And here's that summary. Here's that flashback, look back, flash looking backwards at what we talked about right now. China's economy recovered pretty well. It beat analyst expectations in the fourth quarter, expanding 6.5% from a year earlier. Pretty much, China didn't really skip too much of a beat in this whole thing. The gross domestic product growth was faster.
There was a story last week we did on the No Agenda show that had, in the last week or so, they had one death from COVID. Oh, we got a death to report. Like a week ago, they had a death to report.
Any thoughts on which particular economy in Asia was the top over the last year?
Well, it should be China.
It should be. However, if you think about all the things that went down between the tariffs and the sanctions and the things that went on with corporations.
Yeah, you can talk a big game about all that stuff, but I'm here looking at, I can see that the commerce, I can see it in real time. And this stuff is pouring into the country.
Well, for whatever reason, the best economy for last year is Vietnam. We're talking male power in China. Education officials in China reportedly launching a plan to address the company's alleged masculinity crisis, a campaign that seeks to toughen up the nation's male youths. They said that pop culture and female teachers have turned boys weak, inferior, and timid. That the trend said could endanger national security in the event of an external threat.
Well, as we've been doing the same thing here, and it hasn't caused a problem.
Do you remember they were going to do the Ant Group, which is a big financial conglomerate? That's,
yes, this was going to be a big deal.
And then they pulled the plug on it. China's Ant Group on Friday said that its consumer loan platforms will no longer issue loans to minors and will prevent small business loans from flowing into stock and property markets. I mean, the minor part seems reasonable enough. I mean, some 8-year-old comes up to the window and says, hey, I need $5,000. And what do they do? Just say, okay.
Yes.
How did this work?
Need to buy a new tricycle.
I mean, and then I how are they going to stop the loans from going into investments?
You can't.
Yeah. Follow up on China. China's competition watchdog is adding staff and other resources as it ramps up efforts to crack down on anti-competitive behavior, especially among the country's powerful companies. And Alibaba was forced to pay $2.8 billion due to monopolistic behavior. And once that came out and the whole thing was over, finally, supposedly, you know, and we know what this is. This is ransom. This is ransom. The Chinese government said, you know what? You're making too much money. You opened your mouth, Jack Ma. You know, I don't like what you're doing. And you know what? You're going to pay now. All right, so we've had some crypto love and some hate going on right now. China has banned financial institutions and payment companies from providing services related to cryptocurrency transactions and warned investors against speculative crypto trading. Trying to clamp down on this whole gig.
Good.
So another reason why probably Bitcoin is taking a little bit of a move to the downside this evening and today, actually. Big announcement from China. China says, make more kids. They announced that married couples may have 3 children, up from 2. And it was made at the highest levels of Chinese politics. It includes new support for education and child rearing. So here's what's interesting. In China, the announcement comes out. You now can have 3. What do we think as investors? What are we going to do? Shares of fertility companies, milk formula products,
Gerbers,
and toy makers soared in Shanghai.
Toy makers, definitely.
Soared in Shanghai and Hong Kong. We have a new tone on China, realizing that it's not a democracy or free market. Everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe China isn't a democracy. We thought it was a place that you have to be fair. Do you know how many people have said to me, I don't understand why, how could China do that? I think, what do you mean? Well, they just locked up a guy for doing this or that in the corporate world. I'm like, yeah. What is surprising here? Do you find that surprising?
No, not at all. I'm surprised they don't do it more.
China stocks saw, in the U.S. listed China stocks, the Alibabas, the ones we just talked about, TeleEducation and EDU and a few others, saw the biggest slump in the last couple of weeks since 2008. Back in 2008, the stocks that came out and the markets that came out of the slump first was China. China was very quick to react, and they really did a good job at pushing funds through their economy, lowering their rates, changing the RRR, the reserve requirements for banks, and doing a lot of work to really prop up markets. Who knows if they were buying in themselves as well? I don't know. But they were the first out of the gate. They came out, did really well, and then kind of slowly rolled over a bit as the U.S. was like 3 or 4 months behind and followed the same exact curve. And now it's starting to roll over. Their economy is slowing down a bit. Their numbers are not as good. Exports are starting to like, they had some good numbers, but yet there's some questionable numbers in there. And I'm wondering if there's a pattern here that we should be paying attention to.
This sounds like a dynamite pattern to pay attention to.
And governments continuing to do that. Okay, the NASDAQ Golden Dragon China Index, which follows the 98 biggest U.S.-listed China stocks, has fallen by 15% in the last 2 trading sessions. Back to China for a couple of things. We have a couple of points here. Tencent's WeChat has temporarily suspended registration. This is fascinating. You got to listen to this. It's so ridiculous. And it undergoes a technical upgrade to align with relevant laws and regulations. So you can't get new registration. Old people, I guess, could stay on there. Registration services will be restored after the upgrade is complete, which is expected in early August. We're talking about, what, a 2-week time for them to upgrade the security? When does that happen with
impossible.
And the other thing, kind of a warm-up here to what we're going to be talking about this evening, China continues to burn down the house. Last night, they've targeted the gaming industry, saying it's spiritual opium. Why do we have to come up with these things? These kind of weird names of things that you got to stop for a minute and think, okay, What do they mean by that, right? You
know? They got some creative writers that happen to be in the party.
What is that actually? I don't understand what that means.
I don't know. And China's on a rampage.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
And don't forget, you know this from your history, China is very sensitive to opium addiction.
Yeah, they did that. Well, a lot of China was addicted to opium, and they did it so they can get access to the tea.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let me give you this stuff and go chill on the couch over
give
there.
Give us your tea.
Yeah. We talked about China stocks last week. More than $560 billion in market value has been wiped off the Hong Kong and mainland China exchanges in a week as funds capitulate out of the once favored stocks, unsure of what sectors regulators will target next. What was really interesting was that China tech stocks slumped to new lows, a 10-month low. And in some cases, some stocks, you look at some of the big names, are down like by their pandemic reaction low prices. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So
it is. It's wild.
I've got so many things that are annoying me. I have more here. China.
Yeah, you just seem to be very annoyed.
China kicked off a 2-month campaign to crack down on commercial platforms and social media accounts that post finance-related information that's deemed harmful to the economy. Now, this is unbelievable. The initiative will focus on rectifying violations, including those that maliciously badmouth China's financial markets and falsely interpret domestic policies and economic data. Those who republish foreign media reports or commentaries that falsely interpret domestic financial topics without taking a stance or making a judgment. In other words, you just repost it, will also be targeted, they said. So the move is aimed at cultivating a benign online environment of public opinion.
Yeah, lies.
No, but a benign online environment for public opinion, which means you can't have an opinion.
No opinion.
No opinion. Nuh-uh.
Right. No, that's no good.
Right. Joy Inc.'s top two shareholders, its chairman David Lee and Xiaomi founder Li Jun, plan to take the NASDAQ-listed company private in a deal that could value it up to $8 billion. With all of these companies that are in the headlines and in the spotlight for China, where China is cracking down on all this technology and social media and all that, right? We know that, and educational firms, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they're cracking down on many of those that also have exposure here, and we're doing the same thing. Is there a chance that the drop in price that we've seen over the last several months, significant drop in price, is going to all of a sudden have privatization, go private deals happen?
Yeah, sounds logical.
I really think this is something we should pay attention to, that if this goes on, because if China keeps on cracking down on publicly traded names, I think there's going to be a lot of money flowing into the privatization phase of this to get them out of the spotlight.
That's not a bad idea.
If anybody out there wants to do the research also, send it on over to us, will you please? China's been coming out with all of this conversation with regard to, hey, we're going to do things like, we're going to make sure that, companies are in compliance with this or that, that the games, the online games that 1 hour per day for children under 18 years old on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's it. And you're going to have facial recognition of who is in front of the computer. And if you're in front of the computer and you allowed your kid to play, well, I mean, you're going to go to jail yourself. So there's a lot of very significant stuff going on.
Now, well, this is a very interesting topic of conversation that nobody seems to be able to discuss. It's just so weird.
Which part of it?
All of it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Like, why all of a sudden, right? Like, why? Like,
why all of us? Yeah, every element. Why now? Why? Whose idea was this? How did it get to be the point where you had to do that? I mean, there's just a million. It actually introduces more questions than it answers.
Is there something possibly with the fact that China, the rest of the, I'll throw this out, this is weird, but maybe the powers that are corralling all of us to do what we're supposed to be doing because of this pandemic hasn't worked in China and they're trying other things to totally take over?
Maybe not. I personally don't think so.
Well, a couple of things they're doing. Alibaba is going to invest $15 billion by 2025 in support of, now wait for this, common prosperity. It's going to be the latest corporate giant to pledge support for the initiative driven by President Xi Jinping. Basically, what they're doing is they're encouraging companies to share wealth as part of the effort to ease inequality in the world's second largest economy. Companies that have been similar things are like Tencent Holdings, which also pledges $100 billion.
Yeah, it sounds like a money grab by the Chinese Communist Party, if you ask me.
But it's not only a money grab, they're also giving money out to other people. So what they're doing is they're basically saying, and they've done a few, here, it's like this. We're going to do a couple of things that, just everybody stand up in a line there. That guy, take that guy, put him over here. Take that guy and put him over here. And a guy comes by and chops their heads off. Now he, right? And now he says to the rest of everybody that's on the wall, okay, who would like to give some money to my cause? You know? So I think there was Ant Group and Didi and a few others, Tencent. They're all totally squeezed.
Yeah. The government, yeah. Yeah, welcome to China.
Yeah, now they're like, hey, so who would like to fight this and who would like to go along with it? So the government-backed news website said Alibaba's funds will go towards areas such as subsidies for small and medium-sized enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
Better said, government people in government that can now abscond with your money. And improving insurance protection for gig economy workers such as couriers and ride-hailing drivers. Surprised? No surprise.
No, not really.
Common prosperity. I mean, let's take that word for a second. Common prosperity. That is communism. Right?
Oh, yes. Good point. The word common's in there.
Yeah. Common prosperity. When you spread the wealth, there is no question that is simply a communist. And quick announcement. China is a communist country. Just wanted to mention that. What they did all these years was they did a hybrid approach, communism in its entirety from a social standpoint, and then kind of split off Hong Kong as a playground for people that thought they weren't going to be really involved in that and could go there.
Jokes on them.
Yeah, big joke on them. And then what they did was they said, okay, we got enough money now. Now let's, you know, we'll let them think that they're owning all this and entrepreneurs can come up in the system, but there's enough now that we could take and everybody will be happy for a very long time. So, and then if that's not bad enough, state-backed firms, so that means that they have state-backed companies or state backing. Basically, that's keyword for the
everybody.
Government. The government, right?
Yeah.
More on China. Macau, the casino operator stocks plummeted by as much as a third last Wednesday, losing around $14 billion in value as the government kicked off a public consultation that investors fear will lead to a tighter regulations in the world's largest gambling hub. I don't understand why they're doing this either, except for, I don't know.
This is corruption again, because these casinos in Macau are always considered massive international money laundering operations.
But again, China,
I think a lot of casinos are.
If China knows this, why don't they just say, well, we know this is doing that. We'll just tax them. They'll just be happy about that.
And that's a good point.
They're taking the high road. They're taking the high road.
Well, they're taking probably taxing them is not good enough.
Oh.
We want to get a piece of the action. Oh. We want our 50%. We want a cut.
China all of a sudden is looking to hit its climate goals. Have you ever?
They made a big deal about that. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to be totally on board, and we're going to start implementation in 2030. That hasn't changed that I know of, and there's no reason for it to. So I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, China has vowed to cut energy intensity by about 3% in 2021. To meet these climate goals, and provincial authorities have stepped up the enforcement of emissions and the curbs in recent months, only after 10 of 30 mainland regions managed to achieve their energy goals the first half of the year.
This is, if this is a Chinese play to take advantage of their position as the world's manufacturer, and they're pulling back to, so they can get the prices jacked up and make more money.
Evergrande, this is the Chinese, the behemoth. And they're pulling down shares of other property developers in China. It's a real problem because while they're down 80%, there is one company that's really solid and solvent that's up 40% this year. But the rest of the companies are getting whacked. Their debt is a problem. They can't issue anymore. High costs. Trading has been halted for the last couple of days, awaiting some kind of announcement. They sold off a piece of it. There are investors that are at these meetings trying to garner information. There was one woman who pulled a knife out and said if she loses her money, she's going to kill herself right here, right now.
Sounds more Japanese than Chinese.
Yeah, it was a butter knife, for God's sakes. China, COVID surge. Have you heard about this?
No, not really.
Yeah, well, because we have the COVID Delta. Wait for it. Plus.
Yeah, the Delta Plus.
Delta Plus. Same marketing company was used for COVID as it was for Disney.
And Paramount.
China locked down a county that has seen the most COVID-19 cases in the country's latest Delta outbreak with the initial flare-up in the Northwest and spiraling to a nationwide surge. Now, understand that their surge is like 40 because they have a zero infection rate tolerance level.
Well, that sums up China. And, of course, I think throughout the next year, we're going to be talking about China maybe more than we have in 2021 or 2020.
I think so.
And, yeah. And that concludes our best of two-hour special, two-part special. And we'll be back to normal next Tuesday when we see everybody again with closest to the pin winner and probably a show that's going to be dynamite because we're going to be backed up a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully we have a lot of good information on the January effect, things that happened in the beginning of the year, all the things that are happening, and it will be probably a comment about how fast January is moving along already through the 18th. That will be for next week. So we'll see you then.
Okay. See you then. Right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.